What's up, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of the Saved and Such podcast. I got my girl with me,
Marie Victoria,
Krista Dior, and we have a special topic today. This is something that the Holy Spirit placed on Marie's heart, and so she's going to go ahead and break it down to you guys what we're going to be talking about. Also, I just want to go ahead and give a disclaimer that my tattoos are out, period.
Don't
say
nothing.
Don't start.
Don't say nothing.
It's hot in here. Thank you. Go ahead, boo.
Okay. So, just for some background and some context, I was sitting in the site. but no, I really want, so I guess the title of this is Bible Contradictions. And I was reading, I think Romans 1-6. And I started to say, like, well, wait a minute, God. I didn't quite get that one. And I realized, like, he showed me how I was looking at it. And so then as I was praying and asking God for more understanding and for a more clear understanding, I started to ask him to show me what he wanted me to see in this. Instead of me just reading it, help me to see why you wanted us to be in here. Help me to get the interpretation that you want us to have. And then I read it again, and then it started to make sense. And points started coming to me about Bible contradictions and about why people always say the Bible contradicts itself. Like, that's something that everyone says whenever I bring up the Bible.
A little controversial. Yeah. Let's do it.
So let's not. But he started showing me, and these are the points. So first of all, what do you think about Bible contradictions?
So going back to what you said when you're like, people are like, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. The reason why the Bible might seem contradicting, like you might read the verse where it says that a woman should not preach, but then people read the Bible out of context all the time. Context is so important because context gives you an understanding of the origin and what time period they were living in and why Paul, Peter, James, Jesus are saying whatever they're saying in that moment. Isaiah, the prophets, all of that. And so, like, what's an example? The reason why he was like, the woman ought not to preach is because back in that time, the Corinth church was filled with a lot of people who were speaking false doctrines, and especially women. Mm-hmm. And so when you actually go back to understand the history and the times and the context of which this person was speaking, it gives you the understanding of what the text is actually saying and not you just making up your own version because, oh, well, this makes sense to me. But when we say, God, I want your truth into it, we do have to do a deeper study of what we're reading.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And a lot of people, so most people's response, and I made a post on Instagram about, not about this, but just about God. And it went viral and people commented. And I think I read a good amount of the comments.
Okay.
And somebody said, like, the Bible contradicts itself. It's a book that contradicts itself. Why would you keep reading it? And people were responding, like, see, I can tell you never opened your Bible. I can tell you never cracked your Bible open to read it. And while that may be true, some people actually read their Bible and still think it's contradictory. Yeah. And that's because, that's because of the points that I'm going to get into. But let's just get into it. So the first thing is, you're interpreting it from a physical sense and not from a spiritual sense. We're human, but we don't operate as humans. We operate in a spiritual realm that defies the norm and that defies physical law. And so if you're trying to read a very spiritual book in the physical, you'll never understand it. And yeah. I feel like it's very important to pray before you read the Bible at any time so that, and a prayer should be specific. You should pray and ask God to, first of all, clear your mind. Because if you have the thoughts of the world and the thoughts of the physical in your mind, then you're not going to be able to read this for what it is. And you also have to read with intention and ask God to show you what he wanted you to get from it. Don't just read it thinking, I'm going to understand it. And a small tidbit for that is get a Bible translation that makes sense to you. Like, I'm not a King James type of girl. Like, I'm the Thou's Days and all that.
It's so crazy because the more I mature, the more I'm like, I love this.
I don't got it.
Right now,
the NLT.
The NLT is great, but I've been loving the Message Bible. But I'll open the Message Bible and go back and forth between the Message and the King James. Mm-hmm. But the Message Bible is just like straight to the point. Like, this is what it's saying. I'm like, ooh, that's good.
Yeah. That's and sometimes, I mean, I feel like the King James Version, like, I know that when I'm in church, they're reading from the King James Version when we read the Bible. And so sometimes theirs have a little more season on it. And it's like, yeah, ooh, like it hits you a little different because it's almost like from God's mouth, yeah, to my ears.
So, but, like, to overcome that part, you really do have to seek understanding. Like, above all things, get knowledge, yeah, get wisdom and understanding. Yeah. Because what you're reading from, like you said, from your physical sense, I could read something where it says, and a lot of, this is what a lot of people do. They'll take a verse, but they won't explore the entire chapter. And so now they're just like, those who wait on the Lord, all, no, what was it? Matthew 8. They made a whole movie, a show about it. 8:20.
What show?
Manifest.
Okay.
I think it was called Manifest, but basically it was just like all things work together. All things work together for the good. And they just stop it there. And it's just like, oh, okay, all things work together for the good. But they don't challenge themselves to go deeper. All things work together for the good of those called by the Lord and basically doing the purpose and the will of the Father. And so not my will, Father God, but your will be done in my life. Mm-hmm. And so that's when other scriptures start coming to me. Those who love the Lord, what does it mean to love the Lord? How do I know I actually love the Lord? Mm-hmm. Then that scripture comes to me where it was like, those who love me are the ones who do my Father's will.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of connecting verses, yeah, that really play a part. But that's why Bible studies and getting in workshops or going on YouTube, listening to sermons, all of those things help put the pieces together, mm-hmm, to make a larger picture than what is just, mm-hmm, a verse.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and this is why I would recommend everyone post the verse of the day. And I'm not a fan, but I feel like the verse of the day is
like a pill.
It's fluff.
It's like a pill.
Yeah.
Like a little pill that I take in the morning, like my vitamin that I take in the morning. Yeah. I read my verse of the day, all right, out to the world.
But I feel like it gives every verse of the day that I've ever read, it gives them what tickles the ear. Like it gives them, oh, God has a plan for you. He loves you. You'll have blessings that you can't receive. Like it gives you that, but it doesn't give you, like I said, everything that God said he gave instruction behind.
Yeah.
And so he's not just like you said, all things work together for the good. Of course it does. But it also only works for the good of those who love the Lord and obey his law, his commandments. Exactly. And so it's like you can't possibly think that everything is going to work for your good if you don't love God and if you're not obeying him. And one of the things that I see a lot of people do, and this is not judgment or any of that, but it's, you know, teachable, yeah, is, and sure. I was also one of those people, so it's cool. But is that, you know, you just think everything in the Bible applies to you, but you're not doing the work. God, yeah, is very fair and he's very just. And so if you're not, and the thing is, you can say you're doing it to people, but God measures your heart.
Yeah.
And so if he knows deep down inside you're not doing it, then that you might be excluded from that part. And that's okay. The important thing is to be truthful with yourself because God is going to be truthful with you and he's not going to just let you skate on something or let you just walk in something that you're not ready, yeah, for, equipped for, or that you haven't worked for.
Why call me Lord, Lord, and Master, and do not as I say?
Because, yeah,
when we talk about people actually having masters and lords, the whole point that makes them a master or a lord is because they have followers who do exactly as they say. And so that's why he's just like, why call me that if you're not following my word, you're not digesting my word, mm-hmm, you're not staying. So people go, I experienced a lot of burnout because 9 times out of 10, you're being thrown into religious practices. And I don't want to take no fault, but one thing that I want like the church to really like take a step back is like somebody can join a church and you're just immediately, all right, who's going to start serving, but you never you throw them right into the religious activities, mm-hmm, but you never introduce them into intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so now they experience burnout because they have no understanding of what it means to actually stay connected to the vine. And that's something that God had to check me on. He said, Krista, the reason why you go through life where you get low and then you come to me and I feel you back on high, you feel like you can do anything. God is good. I'm good. I have hope that everything's going to work out. And then I go back out and I pour, but because I'm on high, I don't really feel the need to read my word as much. I don't feel the need to pray as much because I'm on high. I'm good. Why? But he says, you always wait till you get back low.
To come to me.
To come crawling back. So that's just a little tidbit that just, yeah, came to me. I'm learning in this season what it means to stay connected. And on the days where I just don't do a great job, I'm also learning what it means to take his word for face value. Mm-hmm. I confess, I release, I accept your forgiveness, I forgive, and we forget about it. Today's a new day.
Joseph M. Wanted with the Christitutionalist Politics. Tune in for the upcoming episode for May 4. Issue, Never the Issue, as well as guests Peter Serafin, Rosemary Downer, Don Gallade, Gista the Rapper, Cy Young, Jason Perry, and upcoming Jack Hagar, Andrew Thorpe King, Trent Rock, Ed Temple, Chris Morehouse, and more. Please tune in to Christitutionalist Politics. God bless.
Yeah, that was a good point.
Not to go off topic.
God, but. No, but that's very much on topic. God, he talks to me in a way, it's very loving, but it's very straight to the point.
Yeah.
Like, bro. Because I used to be like that.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I still can be. Like, I'm okay, I didn't pray today, but I'm gonna go do this and do that and think I'm gonna be graced to fulfill that thing. And it's like, he might let you slide on by, but it's not gonna come without consequence. You might be burnt out, you might be tired, you might now take on spiritual warfare that I didn't equip you for because yeah. You stepped over me.
Exactly.
You didn't ask me, should you do this? You didn't talk to me today and
I think,
talk about your process. You just went on and did it.
And I think that's so important. Like, how do we combine God in our everyday lives? Yeah. Because it's really like, that's a really good question that I feel like a lot of us can sit with, because we have to be real. We serve an invisible God. Mm-hmm. We serve a God who is not seen in the natural. And so when we're going about our day to day, so I'm a really big person, out of sight, out of mind. And so meditating constantly and constantly allowing my thoughts to be stuck on, okay, God is with me, God is good. Like, that is actually like a really good practice to keep my mind focused on him, because there's so much that is in the physical that's always pulling for my attention every day.
Mm-hmm. It's like a long distance relationship. If you don't talk to your boyfriend that lives 1,000 miles away, then you probably won't have a boyfriend.
No, seriously, communication is super important.
Communication is key, and that doesn't mean like at every second, okay, God, where do I turn? Okay, God, I turn. Where do I go now?
Yeah, because you don't want to paralyze yourself with fear that what if I misstep? Yeah. You want to get to a point where I know that I'm so connected and I have such a confidence in my decision making that I have, because God is like, sometimes people just pray the dumbest stuff to me. They're just like, God, what should I do? And God is like, I've given you the ability to discern between right and wrong.
Not even that. I literally told you what you should do, and you didn't do it. I told you, first of all, the word is clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man gets to the Father but through me. In the beginning, the word was God, and the word was with God, and all that stuff. And so if God is the word, that means that the things that he instructed in there, you have to read in order to get the understanding of what he wants you to do next. Most of the time, he's probably quiet because he already told you. And he's not going to keep telling you, you got to do the work. Faith without works is dead.
Knock him over the head real quick, though. A lot of times we say, well, God, show me if this guy is right for me. And I have been in this, and I have to take full accountability, because I feel like I was just in that not too long ago. So I'm not judging nobody. But God had to get me together. He said, he showed me the whole timeline. I was praying for that man for months, God. I'm praying over the man that I know he has the potential to be if he ever seen himself correctly. I'm praying for God to help me love a man like him that can produce change. And God said, you was doing all that praying when the simple thing that you just had to sit back and ask yourself, because my word says judging by their fruit, what fruit did that connection create for you? And if I was real, lust, nervousness, anxiousness, the need to, like, he liked to do it like a mouse and cat game where he pulls away because he knows I'm going to pull more forward. And then when I pull back, he wants to pull. And I'm just like, that's not the fruit of the spirit. There's no love in that. There's no grace. There's no kindness, no gentleness. And God is like, all of these fruits are being born, but you keep being delusional. God, what should I do? God is like, I'm not worried. Judging by the fruit, what's the fruit bearing?
Like, Do you not see it?
And that's where I'd be like, God is not all the time where he's just like, he expects you. When you were a baby, you depended more on your parents. But as you grow and as you become, eventually he does want you to start being able to know how to make decisions for yourself. Mm-hmm. This doesn't align with what I know that my father has for me. But when you really are curious, where you're like, it kind of aligns, but I don't know. Yeah, you want to go to God, but there's some things where God is just really like, I've given you the ability to discern.
These are things that we had to learn too. Exactly. And if you're at that point where we are at times and where we once was,
yeah,
it's important for you to know. Like he's not ignoring you. You just not listening. And what your mother say, I'm not gonna keep repeating myself.
Going back to contradictions though, what's the contradiction you can think of from the Bible that always used to kind of like, child, I can go into the whole vegan and meat debate because people be blowing me. Well, if you really follow God, you would see back in the Old Testament, he told them that the meat was unclean and did it. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, because I'm going to bust you over here with this New Testament. All things are made available to the one who has faith. But he also goes and shows us that we shouldn't even argue about this type of stuff, because if this person believes in their heart and their faith is there that they should not eat meat, let them do that. And if I have full faith that God has given me permission and dominion to tear some animals up, I'm going to do that. It's done in faith.
It's the whole the scripture that she just talked about is don't let your good be evil spoken of.
Mm.
If God has granted them the permission to do a thing and you to do an opposite thing, he said, don't come into somebody else's house and telling them what you don't do and expect them to follow. You do what they do or you mind your business. Because it doesn't concern you. Their conviction is not your conviction and vice versa. And that's something I had to figure out. Just because God is calling me to not eat meat, or he's not, but just because he could be, doesn't mean he got to call you to do that.
Exactly.
And so it's important for people to get like, mind your business.
But they'd be like, why is that such a contradiction though? Because it says in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, and people don't understand the constant nature of life is forever changing.
And that's the reason that Christ...
That's the reason why Christ came, is he literally came into this world and said, I'm doing a new thing. And the dogmatic religion of which you guys have been accustomed to and used to for so long, I came into the law not to abolish it, but to fulfill the law.
Yes.
But you're no longer under, you're no longer toy. And that's the mindset that we have to switch from. We use the God heal me, instead of God has healed me.
Yeah. And the other thing is God does not, Jesus did not come here to enforce religion.
No.
Religion is a part of ritual. Jesus didn't come and say, because your forefathers said don't eat meat, because your forefathers sacrificed a lamb or a goat or something like that, then that's what you must do. He came and said, I'm the ultimate sacrifice, and there's no sacrifice that you can give me that I haven't already surpassed, basically. And he came to create a new law and for us to follow that law. That doesn't mean do away with the old stuff, because there's wisdom in that stuff
too.
There's
wisdom in that.
But the things that he's called us to do is things that we are able and that he's equipped us to do. Like, for an example, in Romans 1 or I think Romans 3, they were basically talking about like the things that we used to do and the things that we now do. And he said, like, don't forget about those things, because they are right within their own right. Follow the law of, you know, the community you're in. If the law says follow the physical law, the man-made law, but also follow my law above everything else.
Yeah.
And so if my law is going to cost you something, suffer with me.
Yeah.
You have something?
No, I was thinking of another example of that just came to me, was like, Moses, when Moses first gave the law versus when Jesus is like, and they're like, well, hey, what is the new law? So Moses was, thou shalt not kill, steal, do this. It was so much that Moses outlined. The reason why Jesus, when he came, he just said it's so simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And the second is there like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. The reason why he didn't have to go back and say, oh, all the points that Moses said, is because the love of Jesus, the love and everything that he had done for us, it fulfilled the law. And so when you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul, naturally you're going to fulfill all of those things.
Yes.
You're not going to murder. You're not going to steal. You're not going to do none of those things.
Yeah. And girl, you're good. That's Romans. That's Romans. I'm glad you said that, because I was losing my point and you just came right in and gave it to him.
Amen.
That's now that right there It seems like a contradiction. But when you really get to understand who you, first of all, you can't be a Christian without understanding the ministry of Jesus. You just can't.
No.
There is no way. You won't get it.
Because then you're still going to be bound by your flesh, because yeah. you have to realize that the reason that he came to, and I love when I give a Bible study, because I always bust people over the head with this one. But I said the reason why Jesus is so important, why it differentiates from any other religion, mm-hmm. is because the atonement piece. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The atonement for back in the day, when we look at Leviticus and we study all through Leviticus, there had to be an animal that was sacrificed mm-hmm. at the end of whatever period. I'm not mm-hmm. going to make up a number because I don't know. But the reason why is because that the atonement for sin, blood had to be shed. Mm-hmm. And it has to happen constantly. In order for the priest to step into the holies of the holy temple, they had to go ahead and purify themselves, consecrate themselves, mm-hmm. get themselves prepared. Mm-hmm. The reason why Jesus is so important is he's called the sacrificial lamb, is because the reason why he was sent up was to be a one-time sacrifice.
For
there
everything.
Is no other sacrifice for sin. That's why he yeah. says in Christ, yeah. there is no condemnation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's conviction. But the conviction is to lead you to produce godliness, where the yeah. condemnation was to cause death into your life. That's why Jesus is so important. That's why the whole cross is so significant to our faith, is because we are no longer bound by sin. We're no longer bound to religious customs that needed to make us clean. We're free. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Christ literally said, I come to set you free. And we are free indeed, not because of anything that we've done, but because the blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. I love those Bible studies. People be like, oh my God, that's the significance. Yeah, that's the significance
that's
it. Of it.
That's all it is. And he did this. Why? He said, there's nothing that you did to deserve this. There's nothing you did to deserve this. Him to die on a cross for you and to save your sins. And he said that he died on a cross, not only with the people that he was saving in his time, but he died for the people. He thought about you 4,000 years in the future. He thought about those in the past. He died for those in the present. For the people that were in his time, but he thought so far into the future that he died for you too and covered all that you could think, all that you could do. And so it's just like,
yeah,
it's a good girl right there.
Actually, thinking about this too, anybody also, and when you're watching this, I want you to leave comments or questions that you have, or like examples of contradictions
yes.
that we may be able to answer. And if we have enough, yeah, mm-hmm. we could do a part two of this. Yeah, I think that would be good.
I definitely would love it. I definitely would.
Other than that, I think this is really good. I wanted to also do one on your unforgiveness is killing you. That just came to my head.
That's
and
good.
Y'all don't understand how important forgiveness is, not just for, oh, God forgave me. Baby, the grace that you need to run this race, your forgiveness is attached to
it. It's already there. I got two. I'm going to pick between these two.
Okay.
Between these three. I think I'm going to do two more.
Okay.
There was four. We might carry into one.
Okay.
But one of the other points that he gave me was, all right, so first, the Bible is written not by Jesus himself physically writing on a paper, but he gave visions. He spoke to his people. The people that actually were his disciples traveled around with him and recorded what they saw. And so a lot of times we think that it's a contradiction because they're showing us who God was from their perspective. Obviously, God gave them things that they just had to say was from the voice of God, which is why you'll see that some of the scriptures are written in red, because that's directly from Jesus's voice or God's voice.
Yeah.
But, or that's directly from the Father. And then the other things that are written in white are things that his disciples and the people that followed him and the people that he, that were prophets of the Lord, interpreted from what he gave them. So that's why that's a contradiction that people don't understand too. It's not, you feel what I'm saying?
So people go like, why would y'all trust a Bible that's written by other people? And it's because this stuff cannot be revealed to you by flesh and blood.
The same reason you trust your doctor.
This is by spirit. This stuff, but you have to realize, I understand why they can be skeptical, because this is not revealed to you by flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. Everything that we know to be true is because our spirit testifies of it.
Yeah.
It's something so supernatural that you can only experience. That's why people can never tell me that Jesus is not real, mm-hmm. because your experience has caused you to come to that conclusion. But Krista's experience, I've experienced God in such a way that I can never deny it if I want to. So you can never, there's nothing you can say or do that's going to deny what what God has shown in my life.
And another one that he gave me was the sins of others were not hidden. They were portrayed to show us why we needed saving in the first place. Mm. A lot of people say, well, didn't Paul do that? Wasn't he a killer? What's her name? Rahab? Wasn't she a prostitute? Didn't this person? Yeah. And the reason that it's written in the scripture is to remind you of who you are and who he saved and why he saved you. Because didn't you? I feel like it's in there. He didn't hide it away because it's a very real part of who we are. Sin is a part of us. Sad to say, but that's the nature that we are in. That's who we are. And even more, he showed us, he chose his disciples and he chose the people that would serve him outwardly based on who he knew they would be and who he would transform them to be. And so he took Paul, a killer. He took Elijah, someone that was depressed. He took Rahab, a prostitute, and used them for his goodness because only he can purify them. And so it's the same thing when you're looking at that. Don't look at it from a physical standpoint. Like, no, why would I listen to a Bible that uses prostitutes as an example? Why would I listen to people that have been murderers? But weren't you a murderer?
They try to say, like, we're judgmental in a way because they're like, but y'all do. And it kills me because we really live in a society where people get a thrill out of reminding people of their past and making them feel like they're incapable of change, trying to hold them to labels. And they just, it's very negative. But that's why, like, we're called to be a peculiar people. It's not that we don't have a testimony or struggles. Mm-hmm. It's just literally, like you said, to show God's graving. Yeah. Saving grace and mercy and what it can do, and that it's available to you too. That you're not, there's nothing that you've done, seen, said that makes you above. And people get, I'm not even gonna go deep because that's too controversial. But
and here's the thing, when someone judges you, don't take it personal. And the reason I say this is because when someone judges me, I look at that. I mean, obviously, it hurts, and I'm not saying run from how it feels because you are allowed to feel. That's not a sin, and that's something that's actually encouraged.
Yeah.
God tells you there's a time for this, and if that's your time to mourn and your time to be sad, then be sad. However, when someone judges you, don't internalize it. Yeah. Because most of the time, other people judge. People judge other people because they're internally judging themselves.
Yeah.
And so if they don't have grace for themselves, how can they have grace for you?
What they say when you point a finger, three pointing back at you.
Three pointing back at you. And so don't internalize it. Look at it like, okay, you're judging me and I'm going to do what needs to be done. And I know that I'm forgiven. I know that there's grace for me because God has given me grace. It's a gift. And I know that God has forgiven me. But see them for the human people that they are, not for, don't see them as Jesus. Like, I know a lot of times in church we say, oh, how can a Christian, she is so-called Christian, how can a Christian or a church person do this to me? Because they're not Jesus. And don't limit God to the people that you've seen, because he's not a person that he should lie. He's not a person. He's not a man that he should, he's not of sin. There's nothing he can do that is bad. And so when you see people, you know, call the name of Jesus or proclaim the name of Jesus and they do you wrong, understand that that's the very human side of them. And there's grace for them too. And so when God gives you grace, you got to give other people grace regardless of them judging you.
That's how we're going to talk about your unforgiveness is killing you.
Yeah. Forgiveness is literally not for the other person because they already have forgiveness and they can't forgive themselves if they don't know that they have the gift of forgiveness.
You really, like, I think that's a call, like what you said when you're like, oh, well, I can't go to church no more because the pastor did me like this. That is a very big indication that you have idolized that person above the position of which they were supposed to play in your life.
Yeah.
The moment that you can say that God is not good because somebody has been ungood to you, you have idolized that person.
Yes.
And so we do want to repent for idolizing them, putting them on a pedestal and a shoe that they could not fulfill and come back down to reality that people will fail me. It's human nature, but God, God is for me.
Never will.
He will never leave nor forsake me.
Yep.
For sure.
That was, I don't know. Let me see what the last one is.
Team. Kind of like on our own here.
Oh, the last one. This is quick. In your mind. So this is from Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart One believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And so another reason that people see the Bible as a contradiction is because in your mind you may have accepted Jesus as the Savior, but you didn't accept him in your heart. And so the difference between accepting something in your mind and in your heart is slight, but it's very detrimental to your walk. And so I can say all day, I trust God. I can say all day that I believe that God died for my sins. I can say it because it's in my mind to say, but until it's in my heart, it has no fruit. It has no ground to stand on because I don't really believe it. And you can't have faith without, you can't have faith if you don't believe in it. And so it's important for people to see, like, when they're reading the Bible and when they're on their journey with God, that it has to come from a sincere heart posture. It can't just be because your grandmother told you and that's what you believe. It has to be. That's why there comes a time in everyone's life when they're choosing this walk, because you're chosen, but you got to also choose him too. Mm-hmm. And so it comes a time in everyone's life when they're choosing this walk that they'll decide within themselves and they'll make a decision in their heart to follow him. It's not a thing you can just do with your mind and say you're going to do. You got to actually do it. And it's evident by your fruit.
Yeah, because we were like, I trust God, but then in your heart, you're just plagued with worry.
Yeah.
You can barely get out the bed because you're so anxious, depression about what was. Mm-hmm. You haven't trust God to let go of your past. Mm-hmm. So now you're ruminating on the hurt that they did, what they said or did not say, mm-hmm. who walked away. Mm-hmm. Or you're so consumed about what's going to happen in the future that you're paralyzed with fear. You can't even get up and make a decision in the morning.
Yeah.
That's the fruit that's being born. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can tell.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, along with, so for y'all to understand the fruit, what is it? I am the vine, you are the branches. And when you bear fruit, then it'll continue to grow. And when you don't bear fruit, then your branches will be cut off. Those branches will be cut off. And so it's important to know that.
And even the ones who do bear fruit, he said, I cut them that they bear more fruit.
And that's that's a word in itself. That we ain't even gonna get into that because that's a lot. That's
we need to do Bible study for real.
The shaping, the beating, and the pressing. That's a part of that. But for this context, when you're bearing fruit, then you know, like she said, you'll get cut probably so that you can bear more fruit. But you know, God is pleased with that, and He won't cut you too bad. He won't cut you without the intention of rebuilding you. But if you're not bearing fruit, then there probably will be a separation and you'll probably feel separated. And there are times where I feel like I'm grieving God. Like I feel like, God, where are you? And it's not because he's moved. It's because I've moved. Something in my walk has changed and I'm not bearing as much fruit. And so he had to, you know, kind of cut that branch. And it don't feel good, but that's the reality of being human. And the great thing about having your branches cut is that when you are in that space, God is like, I'm ready whenever you are. Come on back.
Come on back with open
arms. Because he's not a God that will just cut you and leave you. He said he'll never leave you or forsake you. So whenever you're disconnected, there's always a chance to get reconnected.
Amen.
So we're going to end right on that note.
Yep, amen. And remember, if you guys have any contradictions you would like to talk about, questions, drop it in the comments. I would like to hear y'all opinions. Mm-hmm. And if it makes sense, we could do a part two on that.
Yeah.
All right.
We probably could also answer some of those questions on Instagram. Once this episode drop, we're probably going to do like a questions thing on Instagram or drop a reel where y'all can ask under the under the comments, and we'll either go live or just respond in a story or something. Increase engagement. Yeah. So y'all can we really want to hear from y'all. So if y'all got questions.
I think that's a great idea. I like that a lot.
If y'all got questions or things that may not make sense to y'all, don't feel ashamed because we all was there. Still am there at times you heard it. But, yeah, we want to hear and we want to try to help. Les, you want to pray out?
Okay. Everybody, okay. No, I'm just going to go into it. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, for another day that you woke us up this morning. We don't take it lightly. We thank you for even the disruptions that happened, Father God, today, that we know that you are a God who sees above and you see beyond and you see what we can, you can see the things that we can't even see. And so we give you the glory. We know that you are orchestrating our path. Teach us how to continue to surrender. Teach us how to continue to let go of what no longer is so that we can walk in the joy and the fruits of what's ahead of us, Father God. We claim with our mouth that Jesus is King, that Jesus is Lord. Teach us not to only just be a hearer of your word, but also a doer, Father God, that we will be able to produce the evidence of what it means to be a child of God, to walk with God, and to be intimate and close with you, Father God. And I also pray that in this moment, that every person under the sound of my voice right now, that you would send a fresh wind, Father God, that you would give them the courage to start over, try again, whatever the case may be, Father God, that you would let them know that you have not left nor forsaken them, Father God, but it is time to rise again. It is time to believe in their season. And Lord God, I just thank you for what it is that you're about to do. You know that you are faithful. Your word doesn't return back to you void. And so allow this to fall onto good ground, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so y'all can follow us on all streaming platforms at Saved and Such, SavedNSuch. See y'all. Peace. Chicken grease, you know the rest.